Welcome to the Common Sense Spirituality Show, the show that takes the mystery out of spirituality with your host, David Gagan, engineer, science director, scholarly researcher of life's mysteries, and author of The Endless Journey.
Welcome to the Common Sense Spirituality Show. I'm host Dave Gagan, and I'd like to welcome you to today's show titled Psychological Astrology. Hundreds of years ago, astrology was considered a science, but today science discounts it because we cannot explain or even understand how the impact of planetary bodies could have an effect on human condition, much like medicine has lost its ability to explain acupuncture. Anna Swara, our guest today, will tell us what astrology can and cannot do and why she believes it still remains a useful tool in our lives. Anna Swara is an astrologer, educator, and filmmaker who has been practicing astrology for the past 20 years. She is certified as a transpersonal counselor, holds a master's degree in education, and a bachelor's degree in filmmaking. Her astrology practice is based on Jungian psychology and the overlay of psychology and astrology. Welcome to the show, Anna.
Thank you, David. It's good to be here.
Yeah, it's great to have you on. To start out, let's just try to understand what psychological astrology is. You know, everybody knows what the psychological is, or at least they think they do, and astrology. But most people don't tie those together. Can you explain what that is?
Sure. Well, as an astrological counselor, I collaborate with therapists who I refer my astrology clients to. So an astrological chart essentially is a map of the individual's psyche and offers information as to the psychological work the individual has come here to do in this lifetime. As a psychological astrologer, I interpret the meaning of the planets, the signs they are in, aspects, and placement within the 12 houses from an archetypal or thematic way. In other words, the sun represents the father in the chart, the moon, the mother, and since our family of origin is at the roots of the work, the psychological work we've come here to do, the information of the placement of these planets informs the astrologer of, or myself, of the challenges as well as the openings the individual has to work with. So when the client is in need of deeper work, deeper therapeutic work, since I'm not a therapist, I'm a counselor, that's when I refer them to a trained clinical psychologist who can then help and support them as they move through a deeper therapeutic process. So the value of astrology in this collaboration between astrologer, client, and therapist is very significant. When I inform the therapist with information received from the reading around family of origin issues or psychologically based challenges, this information can really support the client and therapist and give a head start to the therapy. Astrology can also be helpful if the client gets stuck in the therapeutic process. By using astrology, the therapist can have insight into what is happening with the client, and an astrology reading may create an opening around where the client may be stuck that neither the client nor the therapist can be aware of or may be aware of. So, specifically, I've been working with one clinical psychologist in particular, Dr. John Amoroso, for 25 years, who not only is a psychologist, but a past life regression therapist. And after doing a one-hour natal reading, which is the length of the astrology readings that I do, I then inform Dr. Amoroso of the complex which is found in the astrological chart, as an example. I mean, I work with other psychologists as well. Because the client is in need of doing deeper psychological work, they begin their therapy. On an ongoing basis, during their therapy, the client checks in with me for short 20-minute readings based on where the planets are now, or transit, And this gives even more information to both the therapist and the client as to any present or updated challenges or openings to their therapy, informed by the transiting or the moving planets affecting their birth chart. And that is kind of, in a nutshell, the process that I go through as a psychological astrologer.
Okay, so the psychological part, you do astrology from your perspective is a look at the psyche, as an understanding of the psyche. And you're working with a psychologist at the same time, a transpersonal psychologist that kind of ties
clinical,
the two together.
Someone clinically trained, yeah.
Okay. Well, let's see if we can dig into that a little bit and see if we can understand a little bit better. You talked about an astrological chart. What's an astrological chart?
Well, that is, it's a chart that's calculated in time and space that is an imprint of the planetary movement at any given time, day, actual clock time, and location. So with those three pieces of information, nowadays you can plug that into software and immediately get, the chart. But
what's a chart look like? What's it look like?
Well, it looks rather complex, actually. It's a frozen map of the cosmos at that moment in time. So with the planets, it's divided into 12 houses. There are 12 signs, and then the planets are symbols within the chart, the sun representing the father, the moon, the mother, and so forth. And then we have, other planets involved, and then those planets are in specific signs, and that really gives us information as to, what was happening energetically at that given moment. Now, when I start talking, I think that something that's important to touch on is really the science of astrology.
I agree with that.
And involving physics. And so I would like to address that because that's a really important piece that most people are not aware of. And so what I want to say is that, first of all, I view astrology as both a science and an art. And as a science, according to Dr. Will Keepin, who is a physicist and an astrologer, it's a very interesting combination. He believes that mainstream science has no credible case against astrology. The two usual arguments given in science are that there's no evidence for astrology and there's no mechanism that could possibly explain it. Well, actually, the no evidence is false, primarily because of the work of Michel Gaquelin, who was an astrologer and statistician who validated the astrological hypothesis, which is the hypothesis being the existence of a correlation between the state of the solar system and human experience. And through his case studies, he was able to statistically prove that the placement of certain planets in the astrological chart correlated to specific talents within the individual, such as athletes, musicians, artists, writers, and so forth. Now, Keepin, as a physicist, has taken this explanation for how astrology actually works into the realm of physics, specifically nonlinear dynamics, and he contends that the explanation for astrology is more profound than any process that takes place in the physical realm. So according to Keepin, it involves something that is beyond the physical realm, and we are now gaining increasing evidence in some of the new developments in modern science. Those developments are the theoretical work of physicists David Bohm and the emerging fields of nonlinear dynamics, chaos theory, and in particular, fractal geometry. So David Bohm, a physicist, right, carried on a 20-year dialogue with the Indian mystic and sage Krishnamurti. He also had extensive dialogues with other spiritual masters, including the Dalai Lama, and he ended up developing a theoretical understanding of modern physics that is actually consistent with spiritual teachings down through the ages. So the basic nature of reality, according to David Bohm, was that he had holo movement, holo meaning holographic, like movement suggesting like the movement suggesting dynamism and process. To use his words, the nature of reality is a single broken wholeness. Now, this is a very important concept, that reality is actually a whole, and it's unbroken and within a flowing movement, so everything is connected and everything is in dynamic flux.
And when you say whole, you mean W-H-O-L-E, whole.
Yes, yes. Exactly. So without going into the really complex details of how quantum theory and astrology interrelate, suffice to say that there are correlations between the evolution of the macrocosm, which would be the motion of the planet, and the evolution of one particular part of the macrocosm, which would be the human being. So since we're all interconnected and all part of the whole, it becomes a metaphorical understanding for how astrology might work, and it works in a way that is not mechanistic. It's not linear. So his thesis is that it's not that the planet Pluto sends rays down to your brain, which acts as a radio receiver, picks them up and goes and does plutonic things. It's that the process that's going on in Pluto is also going on in you. So, this is a very interesting concept. And so it then leads us to another holographic-like structure in astrology, which is you can give the entire reading based on simply which signs the planets are in. That's one possibility. The signs really refer to the entire cosmos, since they essentially divide up the universe into 12 sectors, as I mentioned, 12 parts to the chart itself.
These are zodiac signs that you're referring to.
Correct, yes. Yeah. On the other hand, you can also give an entire reading with just the planetary aspects and midpoints themselves. So, astrology is so multi-layered is really the point. And in the latter case, you are only looking at the level of the solar system, not further. So you can completely ignore the signs, in fact, and still get a very accurate reading. So this same information is unfolded at different levels and in some way is replicated at the solar system level as well as the cosmic level. So we can say that the concept of as above, so below symbolizes the connection between quantum theory, metaphysics, and astrology. So, I did initially say that I view astrology as a science and as an art. So, as an art, my perception is that it involves the creative process and chart interpretation. In other words, a trained astrologer is able to ask the right questions, listen, and creatively add meaning to the individual's chart at the moment of the reading. And this involves many skills: the knowledge of the complexity of astrology, being able to read the person who is having the consultation, asking questions that clarify the meaning of the chart, which is very unique to the individual. So this process itself is a very creative one, so I would say definitively that, yes, astrology is also an art.
Now, do you think that once science figures out how astrology works, it will stop being an art? Do you think it can be can be mathematically determined if we knew more about exactly the details of how it works.
The thing is, astrology goes beyond math. It moves into quantum physics. And with the the strides that Bohm has achieved, and then, of course, Will Keepin, who is a physicist and an astrologer, the results of their inquiries, their discoveries around quantum physics, string theory, and chaos theory and fractal geometry, you know, I don't know if you're familiar with the Mandelbrot set, but it's all about fractal. And if you take, if you look at one little, okay, let's say you're looking at a picture of Saturn, the planet Saturn, and if you hone in to a small portion of the planet Saturn and then look at the piece of the rings around Saturn, you'll see that the same design, the same, structure of atoms is replicated in the rings. So everything, this is the notion, this is the very significant piece that astrology is very involved with, which is that everything is interconnected. And if everything is interconnected, then the moment and the time of your birth, you are in the planetary energies of that moment.
Yeah.
So,
it goes
beyond math.
Yeah. Yeah. I certainly believe that we are all one and that we are interconnected. So I certainly can understand how we could be impacted. I'm not sure I truly understand it. I have read David Bohm's work, and he's a brilliant guy. And matter of fact, he probably wrote the best book on quantum mechanics that anybody ever wrote. And he did some amazing work, and I'm not sure I followed everything that he said in his book. I have not looked at what Will Keaton has done. But he would be that would be worth looking at.
Oh yeah, I can give you a link later.
Yeah, well, as long as we know, how do you spell Keaton for our listeners?
K E E T I N.
K E E T I N.
P as in Paul.
Oh, P. K E E. P I N. Keaton.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. All right. Great. I'll definitely look at that. How can this be tested? How do we know that it's right? What are some of your examples that people have done to show that it works?
Going back to the fact that I'm a psychological astrologer, my approach is what I just did was I explained the science behind
right.
it. But as someone who looks at the idea that we come in with psychological work to do, because we are all on an evolutionary, a soul level evolutionary path. And in order to evolve and to grow spiritually, we need to address the psychological because they're interconnected as well. In other words, in order to move on a soul level, we need to heal certain aspects of the soul that perhaps in other lifetimes we ignored, or in this life we're ignoring, and the same patterns, the same troubles, the same obstacles keep reappearing. You know, we have one relationship, and then, you know, there are troubles in that relationship, and then suddenly we find ourselves in another relationship and the same pattern is being repeated.
Okay. So you're able to go to do an astrology reading, and you say, okay, these are the you know, some of the issues, and I want to get into that. I want to get into what you get on the chart, on some of your charts. But you're able to say, okay, these are some of the issues. So then you would work with John Amoroso and say, okay, the patient, I guess, John's patient is having some kind of issues, and you're able to see that and give him insight about his issues in his subconscious, that he can bring those out into his conscious and deal with them. Is that the type of testing that you would say, yeah, it works because we've done this and right. The patient has improved?
Right, sure. Because whenever someone comes to me for an astrology reading, almost always it's because they're in a troubling spot in their life. And, you know, something's not working. And they're kind of, they're lost regarding what that may be. They know something is affecting them, they're depressed, but it's just not clear what's going on. So I look at the chart, and invariably, as soon as I pull up the chart, I can see, you know, that bundle of energy called the complex. You can actually see it physically in the chart.
And okay, what is a complex?
Well, a complex is a challenging piece of work that we need to do in order to grow psychologically, therefore spiritually, on a soul level. And so we can come in with all kinds of complexes. Some people have a complex around being abandoned, and we refer to that as an abandonment complex.
Okay, so that would be a set of emotions and memories and perceptions and wishes and whatever, a pattern of some sort that's in our subconscious mind, and it's organized around, say, a theme of being abandoned. So the theme would be,
correct,
you know, you were abandoned, but it's all of these ideas and that we've picked up along the way, the thought processes.
Mm-hmm.
That we've gathered up, and they've ended up in something that we, I guess, don't like. I guess you have complexes that are positive too, right?
Yes, absolutely. And usually, the way out of it's inherent in the chart itself. You can also see where there's a positive aspect that stems from, you know, a block or a difficult aspect that makes up, let's say, for instance, an abandonment complex. There's always a way out. It's not instantaneous, though. It just is a signal that, okay, these are the qualities within one's personality that's really deeply embedded on a soul level. And it's actually based on lifetime after lifetime. We continue to work on the same complexes lifetime through lifetime until we get it, and then something new comes in, and then we're able to work on that piece. You know, because essentially, you know, unless we are, I don't know, the Dalai Lama or Buddha, we are still striving, we're still on a spiritual journey, looking to become, more higher evolved.
Right.
And so the chart is a significant piece of information that we have regarding, well, what is the work that we have to do? Now, I have to say that it's also important to look at where the planets are now, because what happens is if we do have a a particular aspect to our complex that we're working on, usually there's a planetary trigger or influence from where the movements are now, called transiting planets, that affect our birth chart. And so we're constantly working on something, some aspect of ourselves. Sometimes we get really stuck, and actually that place of being stuck is a good sign, because it means that something has to change. And that's when some people, you know, really hit rock bottom, and that's when they finally say, you know what, I really need to do some therapy, you know. And so they turn to a therapist, or they come to me, and then I inform them of what's going on. And of course, you know, being a transpersonal counselor, I cannot take them into a deeper therapeutic process. I'm not trained to do that. So I refer them to a psychologist.
Okay. So we're evolving, and most of the listeners understand that, and we're changing along the way, and we have free will, so we can decide what we want to do. Now,
right.
Now, when we have this free will, we make a decision, and all of a sudden, we have trouble, because you're saying that we go against some of the patterns that we're not dealing with the right problems, or that the problems would be more beneficial if we made different decisions with our free will, so that we worked on the problems that are most receptive to being dealt through the astrological situation. Is that kind of what we're saying here?
Well, yeah. I would say so. You know, I want to address the fact that Edgar Cayce, his belief was that astrology is, well, it's 80% free will and 20% astrology itself. And I completely agree with that. That, you know, the astrological influence is just kind of a structure. It's a
bias. It's a bias, yeah, as opposed to a direction.
I'm sorry. It's a what?
A bias. In other words, you know, you're inclined to do something because of your astrological situation.
Right.
But
exactly.
You're not forced to do it. You're biased to do it that way.
Exactly, exactly. Because the astrology, you know, we are not our astrology. We become the decisions that we make in our lives, the choices that we make.
Right.
That are based in certain characteristics and certain challenges. And so free will is a very important concept to, you know, consider when we're thinking of astrology. Astrology doesn't dictate our lives. You know, it doesn't force us to do things. It only involves an influence at the time. But we have, you know, the karmic, and this is where karma comes in, because any decisions or actions that we make or do at any given time, will, you know, that they become a karmic imprint that we then work on in the future sometime or in the moment. So, and those decisions are connected to creating karma. That's why we say, you know, new karma and we also are dealing with old karma, and that's evident in the chart. You know,
you can read the old karma in the chart. You can't read the new karma in the chart, can you?
No, I can't read the new karma, because it's based on, you know, how the client will respond to what's at hand. but regarding where they've come from in other lifetimes, and actually, to a certain extent, early childhood in this lifetime, that there are some signals, there's some points in the chart that can indicate, you know, how that plays out. So, for instance, you know, there's, if we believe that the soul incarnates lifetime after lifetime, then, you know, the chart gives us information regarding our point of soul growth. So, now some astrologers believe that there are specific placements in the chart that give us information as to what the major themes may be. So,
the karmic themes you're talking about.
Yes, that's my life. Information and just how we, the choices we made in other lifetimes. Now, those choices are based in the complex. In other words, the old patterns that keep coming up lifetime after lifetime. And if we decide that we just don't want to deal with it and we want to repress it, well, depending on the planetary, remember I said the transiting planets, when they come around, they can bring up that what we're trying to repress. And for instance, the planet Pluto, that's the significant planet that brings up unconscious issues that we've buried and repressed. And when that planet comes around and aspects specifically especially a personal planet like the Sun, the Moon, Mercury, then whatever is happening around the identity, which is, you know, the Sun represents our core spiritual identity, and the Moon our feelings, you know, our emotions, and then Mercury, you know, our intellect and how we think and all that. If we have this planet Pluto transiting, coming up and hitting on our chart, it's going to trigger old complexes that have been repressed, not just in this lifetime, but in other lifetimes. And we continue to work on those you know, configurations that make up what the complex is.
Now this Pluto is gonna do this for everybody. So are we going to see changes in the world that are caused by everybody having to deal with some some complexes that they chose to ignore? I mean, maybe everybody didn't choose to ignore them, but I would think a lot of people had chose to ignore a lot of things.
Sure,
So do we see it in upheavals in the world some way?
Sure. It's a great question. And now we're talking about something that's referred to as the personal unconscious and the collective unconscious. So when we're talking about the world, we're talking about the collective.
Right.
And it's interesting because the outer planets, which really start with Saturn, go to Uranus, then to Neptune, and then finally Pluto. Those are the slower moving planets, and what happens then is that the process is deeper and, you know, greater, you know, in terms of movement and growth producing, you know, and so getting back to what's going on a collective level. Right now, we have the planet Pluto squaring the planet Uranus. Now, Pluto is, as I said earlier, represents, it's the deeper level of repressed, you know, feelings, emotions, memories that we really don't want to look at. But in the process of looking at them, and dealing with them, there's a regeneration, there's a death, a symbolic death, and then a rebirth, and then transformation. And that can happen on an individual basis as well as on a collective level. Now, presently, we have the planet Uranus squaring at a 90-degree angle to Pluto. This has been going on for years now. And Uranus is a very volatile planet. It's unpredictable. It's unstable. And Pluto, as I said, is about change, transformation through destruction. And Pluto is in the sign of Capricorn, which represents government, which also represents systems and structures. And so if we look around the world, you know, we see all of the, you know, the demise of, you know, governments, a lot of rioting, a lot of violence, you know, certainly ISIS and...
Right, a lot of chaos out there. How long do these last? How long do these periods last? I mean, Pluto transiting, yeah. is that a 10 year? Is that 100 years? Is that year and a half? Yeah. What is that?
It depends on I mean, the last time, I'm actually not quite exactly sure when Pluto and Uranus were square to each other. I do know that in the 60s they were... together, they were right on top of each other, conjunct. And if we think about what happened in 68, 69, you know, we had the Vietnam War, we had a lot of protests, a lot of rioting, you know, a lot of instability societally. And now it's at a 90-degree angle, which is even more forceful, which is why everything is really... tumultuous. Now, to answer your question, how long did it last? Pluto will be square Uranus, or the effects of that, it depends on the orb an astrologer uses. That means the distance between the planets in aspect. And, you know, I use, with a transpersonal planet like Pluto and Uranus, I use between a 10 and a 15 degree orb. So essentially, by 2020, we should be seeing something that is not quite as volatile or as, you know, destructive.
Let me just add,
that at the same time that these two planets are causing this upheaval, the planet Neptune has moved into the sign of Pisces. Now, Neptune is ruled by the sign of Pisces. Neptune is the most spiritual planet. Pisces is the most spiritual sign. It's in its rulership, it's called. And that is so significant because, you know, Neptune moves very slowly, you know, through the 12 signs. And for it to be in Pisces now means that the opening is through a spiritual movement or a spiritual perspective, so that our spiritual lives are very significant regarding managing, in a sense, you know, the violence of Pluto or Uranus. So that's why when I talk to clients and I do readings or when I, you know, do a presentation or teach a class, I stress how important it is to have a daily meditation practice and to really get connected to our own spiritual journey, because that will affect, you know, the butterfly effect, essentially. It'll affect the outcome of the extreme violence, including the weather. You know, anything that is really extraordinarily out of the ordinary and unstable, that's bringing on some kind of, you know, death, destruction, would be mitigated by as many people meditating and getting connected and reconnected to their spiritual bearings.
So from a collective perspective, individuals can can affect the mm-hmm. collective outcome of these things. And you're saying through meditation and looking and trying to be more spiritual and understanding their spiritual nature and their evolution, that they can actually have an impact on the events that they read in the paper every day.
On the global, the global volatility that's going on now.
Now, we're a little short on time here, so I need to hop around to catch you in a couple questions, but I wanted to ask you from the collective perspective. I know you say that you from the personal perspective, especially because of free will, you really can't predict. Astrology can't predict the future, but it seems to me from what you're saying that you could get a certain amount of prediction on a collective level. Because you don't know what each individual will do, but probably the general population is much more predictable than an individual person. So you could probably do some predicting on, world events, not the specific event, but the conditions of the world through some of your astrological readings from a collective perspective. Would you agree with that?
Well, that's a complicated question, but let me start with, to a certain extent, you're right. Because when the planet Pluto, went into the sign of Capricorn, that was when there was a lot of destruction to governmental systems, a lot of rioting, a lot of breakdown of government.
Mm-hmm.
And that was actually the first event, major event that occurred then was the Egyptians started to riot. And that was, I'm not exactly sure when Pluto went into Capricorn. I think it was 2010 or something. But, 2008 because that's when the fall of Wall Street. Now, could an astrologer predict that? I have to say that I really can't answer that because I'm not a predictive astrologer.
I think it would be hard to, from what I see, it would be hard to predict the fall of Wall Street. But for general trends, maybe there is a predictive capability.
Let me just say, if you recall that, and you. You certainly understand this concept about being interconnected. So if we're all interconnected, then the individual's actions and thinking and feelings and thoughts affect the collective. So that, when we, do move into, as more and more people are opened up and have spiritual awakenings, that will create a shift regarding the outcome of this, square. But it's really, it's purposeful. We needed to have this kind of extreme outcome of, incidences and, a lot of destruction, a lot of death, a lot of scary stuff going on because we needed a wake-up call. And the wake-up call is leading us into understanding that it's not about existing on the material plane. We need to rise above that and move into a life that is more spiritually based and not so ego-based, in other words.
Right.
Which follows, a lot of the, spiritual teachings of many spiritual leaders, but so it's intertwined. In other words, so one you can't separate one from the other, really. So as someone is, you mentioned earlier, someone in their individual chart is having a transit to Pluto and a difficult time. Depending on how they work with that, then that will affect the greater Pluto-Uranus transit.
So by helping ourselves, we're helping others, and vice versa.
Correct.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
If you know, there's a lot of people out there that call themselves astrologers. How would somebody find an astrologer? Anywhere they living in the world. Is there a certification of some sort for astrologers? How do you find one that you have confidence in?
Well, the NCGR, which is the National Cosmic Research Center, I believe that's what the acronym is for, they have a list of qualified astrologers.
Okay.
Also, the American Federation of Astrologers as well.
Okay. So there are places to go that if somebody wanted to get a reading and to understand more about it, that they could get a they could find people that in their area, whether they're in California.
Well, most astrologers work long distance now. I mean, I, for instance, do phone readings all over the world.
Oh, okay.
So, they can go to my website,
Anna Swora. What is your website? Why don't you?
It's annaswora.com.
Okay, and Swora is Swora.
Correct.
Yeah.
And they can, leave me a message, contact information, and I'd be happy to get in touch with them and, talk about what their needs are, where they are.
Okay. All right.
And,
sounds good.
So,
okay. Is there any final word? Anything we didn't touch on that you think is important, or anything that you want to emphasize that we did touch on that you want to leave everybody with?
Well, I do think that the last topic that we talked about, I'm really glad we got to that, which is the idea of what's going on a collective level. And what's going on individually for people. I mean, a lot of people are having a very, difficult time. And when we work on ourselves, and, that means, sometimes we need some therapy and to heal the wounds, not just wounds from this lifetime, but from other lifetimes.
Yeah.
And, we go to the core of the psyche. We go to the core of our soul level configuration. It's where we grow from. And
Right. When
we work on that, then that then creates a shift on a larger scale.
Right. Yeah, we have a greater influence on our lives and other people's lives than we realize, and the more we look in solving and fixing our life, fixing it meaning solving our problems and having a happier life, the better it is for everybody. It's a fascinating concept when you start realizing that we're all one.
Oh, yeah.
Anna, thank you so much for being with us today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much. Obtaining wisdom is a long process, as no one can bestow it on us. The more we talk and hear each other's ideas, the more we're able to mature our own views. You can contact me through my website at davidgagan.com. I hope to hear from you in regards to your thoughts about today's show and ideas for future topics. Also, I cover these and many other subjects in my book, The Endless Journey. I look forward to sharing our thoughts every Friday morning at 9 a.m. Eastern here on W4CY.com. Truth is indeed stranger than fiction, and it turns out to be an amazingly good news story. We all have a great destiny ahead of us. Let me leave you with one last thought. You're a unique spirit having a life experience. You are far more important in the grander scheme of things than you can possibly realize. Enjoy your life. You've earned it.